And welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan, South Sudan, and the rest of Africa this Monday, February 24th, 2025. South Sudan's cardinal says Pope Francis is very close to the people of South Sudan.
We believe that if God continues to preserve him for us, he will be always an important person for us, especially in South Sudan. The Holy Father loves South Sudan so greatly.
And South Sudan Army is persuading cattle keepers to return stolen herds. We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The Vatican said Sunday that Pope Francis' condition remains critical. The Argentinian-born pontiff is alert and continues to receive high-flow oxygen through a nasal medical device. Meanwhile, Christians around the world are praying for the 88-year-old's recovery. The head of the Catholic Church in South Sudan, Cardinal Stephen Ameyu, says Pope Francis is a friend of the South Sudanese people. He says Christians across the country are praying for Pope Francis.
The Holy Father is very sickly. His sickness started 10 days ago, and it deteriorated very badly. But he's in the critical situation, critical condition, but he's okay, he's fine, because he has his lungs were infected with bronchitis, but now I think it has not improved, but is stable. As we heard about his sickness, in fact, we had prayed for His Holiness that he may recover soon, and we continue to join all the Catholics and the Christians all over the world praying for his health at this critical moment. And we believe that if God continues to preserve him for us, he will be always an important person for us, especially in South Sudan. The Holy Father loves South Sudan so greatly that even in spite of his condition of health, on being on the wheelchair, he came to South Sudan, and to the surprise of many people, he was well received, and after that visit, he was very great in spirit, and I think he has a special connection with South Sudanese, especially with the church here in Sudan, South Sudan. And we hope that he recovers well so that he continues with his task. I know people are a bit depressed because of his sickness now, but we pray to God that he may come out of this, we hope.
Yeah, and we also hope that he recovers from the sickness. You have been very close to him, and during his visit to South Sudan, we saw several pictures of you and Pope Francis. What are some of the memories of your connection with him? Share with us some of the memories.
Indeed, the Holy Father has been personally connected with me as I became the Archbishop of Juba because of the difficulties in accession. So he became close to me to support me in those difficult moments. And that is how we built our relationship, our friendship. And in fact, when I became Archbishop of Juba, there was this important connection that we had, and that led to his papal visit, ecumenical visit to South Sudan because of that personal connection. And in fact, we prepared for his coming, and he came indeed in spite of all the difficulties that were thrown in his visit. But he came, and we continued to be with him in a very cordial mood, because after that, he invited me to lead the synod on synodality group from South Sudan and Sudan. And in fact, for the last 2 years, I have been very close to him. I resided where he stayed all these 2 years in 2023 and 2024. I resided in San Marcos, Domus San Marcos, and there you will see the Holy Father sharing meals with us as delegations from different countries. And his love to interact with the people has been always great. And it has been a very great encouragement, especially for us in South Sudan and Sudan. He has prayed, I think, every week he has prayed for South Sudan and Sudan, especially during our peril in difficulties in war. And he continued to pray for South Sudan and Sudan because of this situation we have. We have a very special place in the heart of Pope Francis. We really pray that God preserve him so that we continue to have that connection with somebody who is always praying and connected in spirit with our people here in South Sudan.
Apart from that, he also, in his own state of humility, he kissed the feet of South Sudanese leaders during their visit to Rome. And, you know, the situation in South Sudan is still unpredictable. In the backdrop of his humility to the South Sudanese people, what do you have to tell the leaders of this country?
Yes, Tanza, I know that had gone in history, that the Holy Father kissed the legs of our leaders of South Sudan, because he wanted that South Sudanese should come together as brothers and as together as people who have the same destiny. And this was to encourage the president and the vice president to really put their hands together so that they bring a lasting peace to South Sudan. But of course, that appeal through kissing of his of their feet did not go well. I thought for me, even I suggested that from that time on, the vice president would have come with the president to South Sudan, because that was a guarantee for peace and reconciliation. But anyway, we know that there were difficult moments, and people still remember those difficult moments, that this was a very good occasion for everybody to rally under the initiative for the Holy Father. However, we did not lose hope. We had hope, again hope, when he came for his visit in 2023. We thought that our leaders would pick up what was lost during that occasion in 2018. But, however, peace is always an opportunity for us as a nation to move together, but also above all, for our leaders to move together. In fact, the Holy Father, when he gave a lot of messages of reconciliation, of brotherhood, he wanted that the South Sudanese should no more go to war. But you see, still, because of some mistakes among our leaders, we still see the situation going really astray. And we hope that we continue to be peaceful here in South Sudan. There are some mistakes done by our leaders, and those mistakes would have not been done. And I think peace would prevail in South Sudan. Of course, I know there are influential groups that always mislead either side. And that's why sometimes we see some decrees that have happened here are things to be examined carefully, because this can break the country. And really, I pray that the leadership in South Sudan should think twice before doing some sensitive issues, especially in the party or in the country. And we hope that we will be out of this. And I pray that God will still gather our hearts, because now in Western Equatoria, there is a difficult situation there where the former governor is not known. Likewise in other areas, which is not good, it's not good for the country.
That's Cardinal Stephen Ameo, South Sudan's head of the Catholic Church. He spoke with me from the capital, Juba, earlier today. Monsignor Matthew Odong is the vicar of the Archdiocese of Gulu in Uganda. He tells my colleague James Batty that the Catholic faithful in Uganda are also offering prayers for Pope Francis.
We, as the Archdiocese of Gulu, are offering prayers to God for the total recovery of Pope Francis. As the Archdiocese of Gulu in northern Uganda, we are praying for peace in the world according to the requests and intentions of Pope Francis, especially for the restoration of peace in those countries being torn apart by conflicts. Especially we pray for peace in Gaza, peace in Ukraine, even in Russia, and many other countries. Thirdly, we are praying for the conversion of the world back to God. We believe that most of these conflicts, hatred, division that take place in the world today, it is because humanity is standing to be very far away from God. I am Monsignor Matthew Odong, Archdiocese of Gulu, northern Uganda.
That's Monsignor Matthew Odong, the vicar of the Archdiocese of Gulu in northern Uganda. He spoke with my colleague James Batty. You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, the South Sudan Army is persuading cattle thieves to return stolen cattle raided from Warab State. That story is coming up after the break. You You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Authorities in Warrap State and Unity say at least 8 people were killed during a cattle raid and successive clashes over the weekend. Officials say over 10,000 cattle were raided in Warrap State, and the raiders are resisting an attempt by the South Sudan Army in Unity State to intercept and return the cattle to their rightful owners. The officials say young unemployed men are leading the cattle raids. For VOA News, Mamera Abraham Quad reports from Malakal.
The former commissioner of Twish County and an official of Twish County in Warrap State says armed youth thought to be from Mayom County in Unity State stole thousands of cattle in Turalei Payam. Agwek Chan says the raid left 7 people dead and 14 wounded by gunfire.
Armed youth from Mayom County, they're well armed. Some of them belong to Division 4 Brigade. So they came to a place called Kwenyamion in Turalei County, Turalei Payam. They have raided a number of cattle, more than 10,000 head of cattle.
He says cattle raids are expected from Unity State every dry season until August. He says raiding is compounded by youth joblessness. He says the communities in Mayom County and Twish County should start peace efforts to reduce the raids.
Most of the armed youth, they are jobless. There is no employment. Only to go and ride the cattle, ambush on the roads. So, temporary solution, we need a reconciliation, make peace among these two communities.
Kokong Manuek, press secretary in the office of the governor of Unity State, Riek Bimtop, says South Sudan Defense Forces lost one soldier while intercepting cattle from raiders in Bia Nyang in Unity State's Mayom County. He says one of the raiders was wounded.
And one of the casualties from the side of the cattle raiders, that person was shot from where they raided cattle. The one from the cattle raider side is not dead, he's alive, but one person from SSPDF has been killed.
The commissioner of Mayom County, James Lili Kwal, says the army faced attacks from armed criminals since Thursday as it tried to intercept the raided cattle.
So our forces here, Division 4, went and intercepted them on the same trenches. The fight took place there, and some cars were covered back. And on 21st also, the port was forces. So even also on 23 today, we captured some more cattle. They are now with our soldiers. So they were being scattered away, those criminals.
He alleges that the raiders are not youth from Mayom County, but militia under the command of rebel commander Bwai Rolnyang, who is allied with Sudan's rapid support forces. He says the army has intercepted 215 of cattle so far.
Those who went to Deka area are not the armed youth that within Bulye. Some also are with those of rapid forces. Of former general called Bwai Rolnyang. Our forces are fighting them now, intercepting them. We want to show the government or the people of Bargazal and the people of Unity State that we don't support this criminal activity.
He says he is yet to receive a report of casualties from the clashes. He adds that the raiders ran away and casualties should be minimal. Lucas Sheree Riek, the former commissioner of Mayom County, suggests that disarmament will be the lasting solution to cattle raids. However, he says it cannot be possible without the completion of security arrangements.
Because this cattle raiding has been on and off for so long, and the issue of this cattle raiding always have a connection with the guns. If this is small group of army disarmed, the issue of cattle raiding will never stop. But how can you disarm now? The issue of necessary unified force, not fully unified. If you try to disarm this certain county now, they can run to another county.
The government of South Sudan extended the transitional period to February 22, 2027, for the fourth time, to give time for the pending task in the revitalized peace agreement to be completed, including security arrangements. On February 5th, Nicholas Haysom, special representative of the UN Secretary General and the head of the United Nations mission in South Sudan, told the UN Security Council that there is no appetite for fifth extension of the transitional period. He says the transitional government should implement the benchmarks, including ending crimes under international law, reforming the National Security Service, and establishing a hybrid court to augment accountability. For VOA News, I am Amer Ibrahim Kwod, reporting from the Upper Nile State's capital, Malakal.
From Malakal, we move to Juba, where some passengers traveling from Kampala to Juba are accusing the custom office at the land port in Rajaf of heavily taxing their personal items. The customs office says some people disguising themselves as government officials dodge taxes. For VOA News, Dennis Logonyi reports from Juba.
Disagreements between travelers and customs officials at the Rajaf Dryland port for Kampala buses have ensued for months as passengers accuse the officials of charging personal items as goods. A traveler, identified only as Tony for safety reasons, says he was carrying his personal luggage but was asked to pay an amount of SSP 70,000.
I was coming from Kampala. They came to the bus, they just removed everything down and they took two boxes of mine. One, the one for farm, and then plus another box which has a headlight of my vehicle. So they say, okay, I have to go and pay. I say, these are personal. They are mine. I'm not a business person. They say, okay, you choose one of the boxes. Which one do you want to check? And then you have to pay 70,000. How can you just tell me 70,000 based on what? Or based on which percentage? You never ask me for a receipt. You never ask me for anything. You just say, pay 70,000. What for?
Major Victor Morris is in charge of finance and administration at Rajaf Dryland Port in Sherikat. He tells VOA charges vary depending on the items carried by a passenger.
When it is one item, like a one phone, it will be free because it is the personal use. But if it is more than 2 to 3, you must pay a tax for it. Secondly, we have a different type of tax. We have a personal tax. For them, they thought maybe if you are trade, that's why you are supposed to pay a tax. But no, even if you're individual, you may pay a tax according to type of the item you brought from where you come from. When they come to the office, we try to explain to them. They thought that maybe we are overcharged them. So when it is two, so that means it's much. If we leave one for you free, so the other one you will pay tax for the government.
Tony argues that such levels of fees procured by the customs office should be guided by the taxation system with receipts issued, but he received no receipt, much to his surprise. Major Thona Boy Nyok, assistant commissioner at Rajaf Dryland Port, asserts that many people and officers try to evade taxes.
There are now people coming from outside, CID, economic, this one, and start threatening me. Why are you clearing these things? I'm a technical officer in the country collecting money to the government. So if you have a problem, you go to my head office. Go and tell my head office why Major Ton is collecting money. When I came, this station was only 1 million, but it is now 50 million above. I'm paying this money to the NRA account.
John Wal Akol, chairperson of the East African Business Council and first deputy of South Sudan National Chamber of Commerce, Industry and Agriculture, says the revenue collecting institution in the country has ignored their calls to reduce the multiple taxes on goods that are imported into the country.
When the goods come to Mombasa, our transporter, there have been taxes there. There have been taxes in Mombasa. When they reach to Numili also, there have been taxes. Some people are taxed double. So when these people, they bring the goods from Numili also entering to the city, they have been taxed. Maybe the individual who are on the roads or the traffic police or the city councils, our members are suffering from the multiple taxes. So we complain all the time to our revenue authority in South Sudan to reduce or to unify all the taxes in the country, but that one didn't happen.
According to UNDP, several challenges persist in South Sudan's tax administration, including a lack of electronic equipment for the electronic payroll system, concurrent tax powers and personal income tax, exercise tax and royalties, the e-tax system, illegal checkpoints, and a lack of well-educated, well-trained rate collectors. For VOA News, I'm Dennis Logonyi reporting from Juba.
That's all we prepared for you this Monday, February 24th, 2025. We now leave you with Arafati and the song Bira Bira, which means go slow. Yeah, Dana Lele Unique Arafat, featuring Cody Cody Mash. Bira Bira, I'll see you. Bira Bira.
Yeah, I'm not there, I'm
We have been listening to DJ Arafati and the song Bira Bira, which means go slow in colloquial Arabic. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. For more information on our programs, log on to www.voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Peter Heinle, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Atakubariki kama mimi.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
President Donald Trump has imposed sanctions on the Hague-based International Criminal Court, or ICC, for engaging in illegitimate and baseless actions targeting Americans and our close ally Israel. In the executive order authorizing the action, President Trump called the sanctions tangible and significant consequences on those responsible for the ICC's transgressions, some of which may include the blocking of property and assets, as well as the suspension of entry into the United States of ICC officials, employees, and agents, as well as their immediate family members, as their entry would be detrimental to the interests of the United States. The first person to be sanctioned by the United States under this executive order is ICC prosecutor Karim Khan. In November 2024, the ICC issued arrest warrants for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and former Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, accusing them of crimes against humanity in their conduct of the Israel-Gaza war, which was triggered by Hamas's terror attack on Israel in October 2023. In the executive order, President Trump called the warrants against Netanyahu and Gallant baseless and an abuse of power by the ICC. He noted that neither Israel nor the United States has ever recognized the ICC's jurisdiction. Moreover, said President Trump, both nations are thriving democracies with militaries that strictly adhere to the laws of war. The ICC's recent actions, President Trump wrote, set a dangerous precedent that endangers United States personnel, including active service members of the armed forces, by exposing them to harassment, abuse, and possible arrest. This malign conduct, in turn, he said, threatens to infringe upon the sovereignty of the United States and undermines the critical national security and foreign policy work of the United States government and our allies, including Israel. President Trump noted that U.S. law protects U.S. personnel and personnel from certain allies against criminal prosecution by an international criminal court to which the United States is not a party. The United States remains committed to accountability and to the peaceful cultivation of international order, said President Trump. But the ICC and parties to the Rome Statute that established the ICC must respect the decisions of the United States and other countries not to subject their personnel to the ICC jurisdiction, consistent with their respective sovereign prerogatives.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.